You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I am so excited for you to meet Dr. LaTanya Renee Moore today as we talk about developing a personal relationship with God. This is so important to me because I didn't have very many figures in my life growing up that were motherly or fatherly, and I felt like most of the time I was searching to find answers outside of God and scripture. And a lot of that had to do with I didn't have this personal relationship with God. I didn't know how to be a daughter of the King because I didn't know how to be a daughter in real life. I love how LaTanya gives us these practical takeaways to really begin to nurture and grow intimacy with a father. Dr. Moore completed her PhD at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology and Organizational Leadership. Dr. Moore is a licensed marriage and family therapist in North Carolina. Before we get to the interview today, I also wanted to share the happy and good news that my new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, is available for pre-order today. And I have one question. How free would you feel if your feelings didn't get the final say in your life, but God's word did? I don't know about you, but there's been so many times in my life that I feel like I have just reacted instead of being proactive. That there are times that my soul and my heart, they feel so tender that I'm not sure how to address it. Or sometimes I let it run wild and the enemy comes in and Satan, you know, he starts to throw me with these lies and deceit that are not facts, but I start to interpret the vent. But this book is really for you if you are ready to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. If you want to find freedom from shame about what you feel so that you can heal. So before we get to the interview, hit pause, go order your copy right now so you can be on a new journey to finding freedom from your feelings and in a deeper relationship with God. Okay, now let's go ahead and get to the interview. LaTanya, I'm excited to talk about building a relationship and connection with God today, mainly because, I mean, I think we're all doing this, right? We're all growing, we're all maturing, we're all becoming sanctified. But I think sometimes we make it really hard, right?
Yes,
we're like, we feel like God is kind of sitting on his throne and we're like these little, I don't want to say peasants because that sounds really wrong, but we're just like these little people, you know, on the sidelines and he's putting us in the corner, trying to get our act together. Mm-hmm. Why is this topic so important to you in this idea of like, did you have a rough relationship with the Lord? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
I love that you asked me this question. I'm so glad to be here as well. I had a huge revelation because I realized, well, let's just say I didn't even realize that I could have a relationship with God. And it was because I was so religious. I was, you know, listening to everyone else. I was going to church every Sunday, going to church every Wednesday, you know, listening to what my family said to do in church. And I realized one day, it's like I had this epiphany while in church that I don't really know what I think I know. And the pastor was, you know, up there and he was speaking, but I felt like reciting these things, but I don't really know what they mean. And I went home that day. It was a Sunday evening and I prayed at about 5:30 and I asked God, I said, listen, I want to know you for you. Like, who are you? You know? And every day after I prayed at 5:30 PM, God knew I wasn't a morning person. Ooh, couldn't do it.
So Me too.
Every day at 5:30 PM, I started praying. I would spend time with God. I would listen to the same song for some reason. It was always in my spirit. I would get into the same place. I kind of created this little prayer area and it wasn't a closet. It was literally just in front of my couch. And one day at 5:30, I was in my kitchen. I was moving around and I began to feel the presence of God. And it was like God was tugging on me like, come on, what are you doing? It's our the clock and realize it's 5:30. that was the moment that I realized that I could have a relationship with God. I didn't know before that.
I'm like writing notes because there's things I want to touch on. First of all, let's address religious versus relationship. I think we don't realize that we can fall easily into one without recognizing it. So can you address the two and just maybe some key differentiation points of like, oh, am I just falling into kind of this like works, or am I falling more into like the intimacy category?
Absolutely. So religion, I think of is more traditional, more routine, the norms of church, right? We're going to church on Sunday and Bible study night, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever night you have, we fall into the routine of showing up because someone else said so, or listening or learning things that the pastor has said because he said so or she said so, right? And so we fall into this this pattern almost. In religion, and we're just doing it because religion says to do it, or the church says to do it, or this is the order of service, right? Relationship is outside of service, in service as well, but outside of service, we are spending time with God. We are, you know, sharing with God. We are listening for his voice. We are relationship. I always say it's the same way you build relationship with anyone else that you're interested in, right? You spend quality time, you get to know their character, and that is what you want out of relationship with God. And so you can tell the difference, because if you feel like you're getting into this pattern, this routine, and you don't really know these scriptures for yourself, and you don't really know how God speaks to you because you're just listening to everything that's happening in church, or you're in this relationship where it's like you're really intimate, you're spending quality time, you hear God's voice, you are following his direction, you're being obedient. It just feels 10 times different, and you see the fruit. You see the fruit.
That's so true. I'm actually really glad that you talked about routine, because especially in our busy lives, we've settled kind of into this routine without knowing it. It's almost like it's follow the leader. Where do I got to go? Oh, church Sunday. Oh, you're telling me Bible study on what? Oh, you know, like we're kind of just a circulation. And I kind of call it the Christian checklist, because that's what I did. At like when I got saved and I accepted Jesus, it was like, oh, I got to go to church, check. I got to tithe, like somewhat, you know, like I got to read my Bible.
This is good. I feel this.
Yeah.
I feel this, especially for babes in Christ. I always say like, I am called and drawn to babes in Christ because I don't want them to get into that checklist piece. Right. But even as you were saying that check, 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 like, how can we get into each one of those checks and say, okay, I'm going to church, but what is the experience or the encounter or the expectation that I'm looking for there? I'm going to tithe. Okay, well, I want to be a cheerful giver. What is my seed attached to? Like, learning more of each one of those checklist items.
Yeah.
That's good.
What I love is what you're talking about is really, how do we make the connection then? Because it sounded like in your story, you're like, I laid down the works. So at 5:30, it wasn't about reading or memorizing. It was just about, I'm going to listen to some music. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to like, it's a difference between works, which is really two different sides of our brain, which I talk about actually in my new book, where we have a left side and a right side, and we try to renew our mind and do all the things and read the Bible and memorize, but we forget the other side that's more emotional, that's connection, that's relationship. And so we try to build a relationship with God through basically one side of our brain, and we're wondering why it's hard for us to connect with him on an emotional level because we think our works are going to do it. So why don't you talk about this idea of what actually works in intimacy and how they go together? Because we should read the Bible, yes, but we also want that connection. So why don't you talk about those two together?
Absolutely. Let me just say, I cannot wait for this book. This is going to be good. It's so interesting because I feel like most people tell you about the works, right? It's that checklist. Yep. They tell you about the works. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to, you know, get a devotion. You need to, you know, worship. You need to do all of these things. Well, the intimacy piece of it is led by relationship, is led by just sitting, maybe even standing, but most of the time, you know, sitting just in his presence, right? And so there's this settling that begins to happen in the atmosphere when you just meet with God, when you just sit there and you begin to talk. to be a prayer just yet, right? You can, I tell people all the time, go in and announce yourself the same you would if you were going into your biological father's home. God, here, I'm here to spend time with you. I'm here to sit in your presence and do all those things, right? And then what happens is he begins to lead you to the works. He begins to tell you, you know, a scripture or a book of the Bible, right? So you still have all your works, you still have all your tools with you, but allow him to really lead and guide you. And that happens when you're in his presence, right? When you are in a place where you are there to listen. You might be there to share as well, but you're really there to listen and learn his character. I can't say that enough. Learn his character. We go to God like, you know, here's a handout, you know, our handout. We want this. We want that. We're praying for all of these things. Yeah. But what about what he wants? What about what he wants? Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting in his presence. We learn more about his character. We learn more about what he wants from us. And he got us then into the works, right? And he got us into those scriptures and the things that he wants us to do.
No, that's good. And again, I was just kept thinking about, you're so right about how we're taught all the work side, but we're not taught how to have a relationship with somebody. Like, what are the qualities of a healthy relationship? You know, like, because that is how we actually get to know the Father. Yes, we read his word to know his character. But again, it's not just like, I think that's where the wall goes up, because we think we just have to go do this to check it off the list and get our Bible plan and pray. Like, those are what we're supposed to do as believers, which are good things, but we are missing that. So why don't we even just talk a little bit about qualities of a healthy relationship? Maybe even what that looks like with the Father, like dialogue versus monologue, you know?
Okay. Please. Please, can we stop getting up and not allowing him time to respond? Really?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and just dive right into that? Like, growing in that intimacy and the healthy relationship.
Absolutely. It's many of the characteristics that you would see in a healthy relationship in the earth, right? One, regular communication. Mm-hmm. You want to be communicating with God regularly and in a way where quality time is spent. Oftentimes we meet people and we want to build a relationship with them. And in that case, when we do, we have to actually communicate, right? We need to talk. We have to get on the phone. We have to, you know, meet one another. But it has to be quality time for you to really learn more and really build that relationship. It's the same way with God. It's the same way with God. Yeah. Being consistent is what I like to tell people. Be consistent in that building process, because God never flaked on you. So don't go being flaky on him. Okay. It is trust. It's building trust and learning that you can trust God, right? As you continue to pour out and to share and build that relationship, God is going to begin to trust you to show up. And when he can trust you, he'll then entrust you. He'll begin to give you things to do, right? Put you on assignments, right? It's so much more. That's where the faith is built as well, right? And when I say vulnerability, I mean a whole new level of it. This isn't the vulnerability that you can kind of go to your friends with and, you know, maybe shed a tear or two and maybe get to the surface level of it. No, this is true vulnerability. I'm talking about stripping down to the bare bones in front of him and knowing that he has you in the palm of his hands. I often tell or ask God when I'm in prayer or, you know, when I'm spending time with him, breathe on me. Breathe on me. God, I want to feel you. Sometimes I draw a circle around myself. I read The Circle Maker. And so sometimes I'll draw a circle around myself. I say, God, meet me in this circle. Start a revival in this circle. Restore me in this circle. And so I know he's close. But just little activities. I love talking about practical tips.
Yeah.
And so that's absolutely one of the practical tips that I use as I build that relationship. So communication, trust, spending time, being vulnerable, And obedience will be birthed out of that too. So,
yeah, I think one of the key words that you said was building trust. I think when we go and encounter somebody, meet somebody at church or whatever, it's that building phase. You don't necessarily trust them right away, but once you get to know their character, once you get to know their personality, once they do what they said they're going to do, you know, his promises are yes and amen, is that we will always be able to trust him because his word is always promised true, right? His word does not return void, like scripture says. And then I loved what you said about vulnerability. And it's so funny that we think that God doesn't see us by ourselves, right? Like, it's so funny that we're like, well, you just didn't see that I didn't do this or I did this, you know, it's those vulnerable moments where it's, yeah, like it is that it's different. It's that pouring out because in reality, like he already knows, but he desires. It's not that he needs, but he desires.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking, you know, I would love to talk about this is that oftentimes we struggle with a relationship with God because we struggle with relationships on earth. And so how we suffer on earth is how we suffer with God, you know, looking at him. How can you help maybe women separate the two of, you know, my father wasn't good to me. I can't trust people. Like, let's talk about that a little bit and really kind of begin to help them heal and feel reassurance.
Absolutely. I love that you asked this because God has me working on something. It's called the good father. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with a father. And so when I first got saved, I didn't know what this thing meant. That God is a father. He's Abba. What do you mean? Like, I didn't grow up with a father. And many of us as women, especially if we didn't have a consistent father, you know, or a father that was consistent in our lives or, you know, had disruptions or things of that nature in the relationship with our biological father, we feel like we can't trust, right? We think he's a man, you know, father was a man, or these men did this to me. And so now I really can't trust men. And so I've been going through a process of this myself. And so I'm speaking from experience here. I got into a place and I was in prayer and God began to show me that I had a fear of being fathered because I didn't know what it looked like.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it felt like. I didn't know. And so when you get into a place where you know that this father is different, right? When you do understand his character and you understand your identity in him, that's a whole different, you know, we can go down that journey, but when you understand your identity in him and you realize that he won't leave you, he will never forsake you. He is there. He's always listening. Then he will begin to show you new characteristics of a father. I didn't know that a father was supposed to see beyond where I am right now, that a father could give vision, that a father could show me the potential that I couldn't see, right? That a father could love me this way, even when I made mistakes and take the characteristics of my mind that were in my mind of what I was used to of having an inconsistent father and apply those things to God, right? And from experience, one of the things I know is that this is what helps. He'll begin to show you yourself, And when God began to show me myself, that's when I started to realize, whoo, this fathering thing, Lord, I need a little bit more help.
Yeah.
And so I'm still in that process right now where God is literally showing me through his word what having a good father really means, especially in him.
I so relate to that because although I had an earthly father, he wasn't really a father figure. I think they did the best that they could in their season and who they were. But the Lord is working on me. I didn't know how to be a daughter. So for me, I grew up super fast. And so I took care of me. I was my parent. I was the one, you know, if I didn't take care of me, then nobody was. So for me, the Lord has been like teaching me, well, how do I be a daughter? And I think, you know, both of those, like you and I, and not having a father or father figure, or even if you do have a great father figure, maybe you come from another side of, you know, the relationship. But I think it's important, right, for us to identify that. And one of the things, you know, we keep talking about characteristics, and I think this will help people, a lot of women, is, you know, for me, it's not like this is God's characteristic, you know, in the Bible. It doesn't say that. So how do you like to identify those points in scripture? For me, I always think of Romans 12 because there's this long list, like bless, do not curse, do not repay evil, you know, for evil. And like, there's this huge long list. And to me, that's God's character. He's letting us know, here are the things I want you to do. Pray for those who persecute you. Do not, you know, like there are these characteristics about him that he's saying, like, look, here is the other way. And that's how I always find those when there's bullet points, when there's lists, when he's like, choose this, not that. And how do you like to find the characteristics of God?
I love that. I love that. And I'm going to follow that tip as well. So I do it a little bit differently. I think about the character of God in scripture, and I go back to the names of God. One of the ways those names of God. So I know that, you know, God is Jehovah Jireh. Well, how do I know Jehovah Jireh? He's a provider. What scripture tells me that he's a provider, right? And I go back and I begin to read more about, you know, who he was, how he showed up, and the character of God as a provider. God is peace, right? He is Jehovah Shalom. What does that mean? What does peace mean? And in where and what places in scripture did he provide that peace? And that's one of the ways that I do it. I love telling people, learn the names of God, right? You his character, you want to know who he is and how he shows up. And so because I've learned the names of God, and I used to take them about three a week, and I would continue to learn more and more and more. Now that I've learned those names of God, when I read scripture, I can now identify, ooh, God, I see you. Yeah. You just showed yourself as a provider here, right? You just showed yourself as righteous. You just showed me that you were peace, you know, and I start to learn more about his character that way.
No, that's good. And there are a lot of scriptures, even in Psalms, where he will say, like, he is the God of justice. You know, he is loving, his loving kindness. In the New Testament, we'll talk about he's a God of peace. He's a God of comfort. Like, those are direct characteristics. And while you're talking, I was pulling up Romans 12:9, just to kind of give you an example of like, why, when I look at the scripture, these are practical for me of, okay, like, where am I in renewing my mind? You know, every sentence almost is it's not an order. It's an invitation. And so love must be sincere. You know, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Characteristics, right? Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Characteristics.
That's so good. Yeah.
Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Like sounds like they're commands.
It's instruction.
It's instruction. It's this invitation, but it's also like, am I patient in affliction? Am I faithful in prayer? You know, we see Jesus as this perfect example of somebody that went away to prayer, that was patient in the people that wanted to come after him. And I just love how every single, you know, sentence is this kind of invitation, like I was saying, to really renew my mind. Like we see this, like I was saying, this perfect example of who Jesus is through these scriptures, you know, of being patient, being joyful, praying, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Like that's how I love to look at the characteristics that are not as direct, you know, God is comfort, God is peace, but what is he calling me to? And these are the things that he's calling me to. And we get to see Jesus as an example of that. So I love yours as well of like knowing the names. One of the, I actually created something for the book, and one of the names is Jehovah Rapha, which is the healer. And so I had created some things for the book for that because hello, like he's the healer of our soul. So, absolutely. And just the healer in general. So as we kind of wrap up, what would you love for women to know that you feel is one of the most important things when it comes to building your relationship and just growing in intimacy with God?
That's a great question. I love to talk about identity and that, you know, we are made in his image, right? And oftentimes we can get into a place where we begin to compare ourselves and we begin to almost forget who we are and who he has created us to be. I love talking about purpose and really, you know, operating in your calling. So I would say that I want you to know that building a relationship with him helps you walk in that true identity that he's giving you. And there are times that, yes, absolutely. Sometimes I'm still fearful. Sometimes I still doubt myself. Sometimes, you know, things creep up. But I am a much better person because of the relationship that I have with God and the identity that he has shown me, not what someone else has told me, but that he has showed me in prayer and in that quality time with him. Mm-hmm. You got to know who you are, because those characteristics of God that tell you and remind you all the time when you get into your own head of who you are and whose you are and how he has called you to show up in the world and what your purpose is. Listen, no one can come for you. Okay. You can't be stopped. There are times I move in swift obedience because I know what God has told me. I hear his voice and I know that he has told me who I am and I know what he's told me to do. And because of that, the relationship that I have with him pushes me out into things that LaTanya would say no to right now. Mm-hmm. Right now. Yeah.
I always talk about identity as well, because really when we look at anything, it always goes back to that. Yes. When we think about idols, when we think about body image, when we think about money, like all the things always go back to identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about being made in his image, it's this like, we can't separate. If we're made in his image, then we can't separate ourselves from his image. So right. How we view the Father is how we're going to view ourselves.
Yes. And you know what? I have started this whole thing. I don't know how this happened to me. I listen to people pray. And I know what they think about themselves and what they think about God. I know from the moment they start praying and I think, God, why am I doing this? I don't want to be evaluating people's prayers.
No, actually my pastor talks about that sometimes. You know a person's heart by the way they pray. Mm-hmm. You know their relationship with God. You know how they view God. You know, if he's this God that's like casting sickness and the enemy, and like, you know, you can tell of that. And I think that is a great starting point, though. It's an invitation to ask them questions and stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, I do agree that it is, you can see a person's heart because what's in their heart comes out of their mouth, right?
Absolutely.
And so, and those are their private prayers and those, you know, wanting and yearning. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for this conversation. It's been so fun. I love this conversation. I think we should get excited about it. We should get wanting to explore and have adventure, because oftentimes I talk with so many women, I'm sure you do as well, where the Bible is so overwhelming to them.
Yeah.
And they don't want to open up because it becomes this really big task, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think mm-hmm. It goes back to that checklist.
Yeah.
Because they know they're supposed to read it, but they don't want to do it wrong. And they're afraid to get it wrong, you know, and afraid to make mistakes. So.
And I would say just start, because I once heard this analogy. Well, it's not really an analogy, but I heard someone talking about reading the Bible and being hungry, and that in the natural, we get hungry and we go eat. In the spirit, we eat and then we get hungry. Mm. And so when you start eating his word, listening, yeah. Right?
That's a good word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so just get started. Get started. There are so many good, juicy gossip Bible stories. Like, oh my God.
There is. That's true.
I get stuck on Rachel and Leah all the time. I like to go, I'm like, ooh, this is good.
Listen, that story makes me laugh, because I always tell my husband, John, I'm like, how did he not know?
Oh,
he didn't know her voice. He's never heard her for the 7 years that he worked for her. Exactly. You know, it's like, then he takes the sister and goes into the room and, you know, they have make love or whatever. And he's like, I didn't know that was her.
I mean, come on. I know he was, you know, drunk, or he had a good time at the party the night before. But listen, I mean, you should know this information, right? And you didn't wake up. You didn't take a look or anything.
Like, nothing. You were like, this isn't right. That's what I always think about. I'm like, you love this woman and you worked for her for 7 years and you didn't know that it wasn't her.
Exactly.
I feel like that's scandalous, you know?
The sisters, oh my gosh, every time they were bickering about stuff, oh my gosh, that entire story is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, and basically getting pregnant one after another because they wanted...
Yes, they're in competition, fighting for his love. Oh my gosh.
So much to learn. So much to learn though, okay? Like there's been stories where I read the Old Testament, I'm like, what? You know? Even like really cool stories, which mm-hmm. I think it was like a line... Elijah, I don't think it was Elijah. Uh-huh. Where he throws the axe fell into the water and he just like, or he throws the axe in the water and things start floating on the surface. Mm-hmm. Like really cool stories about the power of God, you know, that I'm like, ooh, can I want to do that. You know, like,
yeah. God, if you can give me this gift.
Yeah. It's so true though. So true. So where can we find you, LaTonya?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at thedrmoore, so thedrmoore. I have the same Instagram handle, TikTok. I love TikTok now. I like absolutely love TikTok. And Facebook, all the same handle. My website is www.drlatonyamoore.com.
Awesome. And I'll make sure we have all the show notes below, so make sure you guys go find LaTonya. And thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you. This has been awesome.